Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Happy Tuesday. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice. Oh, yes, we shall. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God is good. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Rebecca, and it's good to be back here on the air, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I have had some weekend. It has been a phenomenal weekend. We had our Christian Women of Power, the third annual conference on this past weekend, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing. This year's theme was God's Leading Lady, and I poured out. I really did pour out to the point where I barely have a voice. I barely have a voice, but, you know, I'm here, and I just thank God that I'm here. I'm a little bit weary in my body, a little bit tired in my body, but excited in my soul. I said I'm a little bit weary in my body, but I'm excited in my soul because God is so good, and he's so worthy to be praised. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love Jesus today. Amen. I love God, and I love the Holy Spirit. I love God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost on today. I'm excited, and I thank God for all that he's doing in my life. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So welcome. Welcome to today's edition of Power in the Word. We're flowing with the pastors. Amen. This is Real Talk with the Pastors on today. I'm joined today by my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, my pastor, my leader, my priest, my protector, my provider, Pastor Anthony Simmons. Hi, honey. Welcome.
Hello, darling.
How are you doing? I didn't talk to you before the broadcast today. How are you doing today?
Yes, our first time making contact this morning. I'm blessed. I'm feeling good today. Beautiful
wow.
Day here in New Jersey.
Amen. So why didn't you call me? I was sitting here wondering. I'm like, why didn't he call me? Does he have his phone? You have? I guess you do have your phone. I was getting ready to ask you, do you have your phone?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that's amazing. And it's a wonderful thing when you have good communication and understanding in marriage. We were watching. I know people know the Browns. I don't know their real names. Maybe you can recall.
The Manns. Tamara and David Mann.
Exactly. And they were sharing their story, how they started out when they were real young. She was always singing in the church, and she wanted someone to understand, you know, what God was doing in her life. And somebody who would understand her being away, you know, what choirs or concerts or what have you. And they both were pursuing entertainment or you know, careers and what they do today, and they're very successful at what they do. So it's a wonderful thing that, you know, you have a good understanding in your marriage and things go well, that we can, you know, have moments like this and say, yes. I remember when I used to send you roses and we stopped that.
Yeah. yeah, we did stop that. And, you know, I don't mind. We're pouring where we are pouring. Everybody that knows us knows that we are pouring all of our extra funds into building God's church.
Amen.
And to me,
it's just a season.
My God, to me, to put money into something that will live and something that gives life is better, way better, and more important than putting money into something that will eventually die in a day or two. The roses are beautiful. Roses are beautiful, and I love roses. I love roses, but I love Jesus more, and I love souls. You know, I have a hunger and a thirst for people to get saved and set free, and I love the people of God. I have a hunger and thirst for the people of God to come up a few more notches in the way that we live life, you know. So to me, the sacrifice is great, but the rewards are even greater. So, you know, Pastor Anthony, go to Pathmark and get me some flowers, baby, okay? Before you find yourself in the doghouse.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're having fun this morning, and we want to welcome all who are listening, all who are streaming, and all who are in the chat room. We have Nobody's Business back with us. So God bless you. We haven't seen you in a while. And also Mrs. D. Neal and also Prophetess Singletary is with us on this morning. And we're in the flow. Of course, we're in the flow, so we have to acknowledge the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost, He is here. He is here with us. Amen. And He is flowing with us on this morning. We don't prepare a spiel. We don't prepare to come before you with anything. We just prepare ourselves in the spirit to come and say what it is that God wants to say. But speaking of the spirit, we want to pray and make sure that the spirit knows that we acknowledge His presence. Amen. Praise God. Honey, do you want to pray or should I?
Go ahead. You can go ahead and pray.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, for this time that you have allowed us to come together here on Block Talk Radio. We thank you for the brothers and the sisters who are streaming, who are in the chat room, who are listening to the archives in our midst, Father God. We praise you because you are worthy to be praised, and we magnify your name, God. We extol your greatness on today. So we thank you, Lord, for a great weekend. We thank you for a great conference, Father God, a success for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the women's lives, the men's lives, the children's lives that were changed during this weekend, and the people that will be changed by viewing the DVDs and listening to the CDs, God. So we thank you, Lord, that you blessed us mightily and that you are continually to move in our midst. So, Lord, we ask that you bless this time that we are here together on today. Bless each and every listener, God. Bless each and every person. Meet every need, Father God, of your people on this morning, God. And at the end of the day, we will be sure, ever so sure, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to His name. Glory to His name.
Yes.
And Pastor Rebecca, as we were talking earlier, you know, it was in my spirit. I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday, one of my fraternity brothers from college, and
yeah,
he was giving me an update on his promotion, you know, in his job, his field. He's traveling around the world. He visited like 4 or 5 countries within a 3-week span, and he's bringing in the money and the dollars. But this new position involves travel and things of that nature. Now, I don't know if he's saved or not. But I thought about that as we were sharing earlier, sometimes the sacrifice that comes along with really serving God and putting Him first, you know, whether it be money, your time, something that you always wanted to do in life. Sometimes when you serve God, He says just put certain things on hold and put His, you know, kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God,
yes,
and everything will be added unto us.
Yes.
And it's just a wonderful place to be when you know that you're satisfying God. And, you know, I think of the scriptures where He says, you know, give to the poor in the parable with the rich young ruler who would not, you know, give up the money. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where the world puts such an emphasis on money. Everyone's so happy because the market just went up almost 1,000 points. And everybody's so happy and a little relieved today. But this thing called money sometimes dictates to our lives like we wouldn't believe. And it's just so awesome that God is a God that will guide us in every situation.
Mm.
You know, and one thing you always told people, don't panic, you know, it's going to bounce back. You've been doing, you know, looking and being involved in the stock market for a large part of your life, and you
right,
understand the patterns that happens there. So, you know, some people did panic and sell, and you know, some people actually did lose money, but it's one of those things where God is in control of everything, even this
Amen.
Market and this economy. So I'm just so happy, you know, to serve God, not just in the capacity of, you know, where we are, but just as a man of God trying to live the best Christian life that I could possibly live for Him. And we really do need God to make that happen.
Mm. Amen. Praise God. We do. And when I was a stockbroker, I was a stockbroker for about 13 years. And I had my own book and my own clients. I finally got out of that industry because it was becoming so crooked. See, even back then, the Lord was showing me how crooked the stock market industry was. And today it's been revealed because there's nothing that can be done in the dark that won't be revealed by the light.
Hallelujah.
And, hallelujah. So we see a lot of what's going on in the back of ground coming out to the forefront right now. But when I was a stockbroker, what I told my clients was when the market was down, it was not a good time to sell, to hold on. Because when you get your statement, for those of you who have 401ks and company-sponsored retirement plans and things of that nature, when you get your statement, or even if you have a portfolio, an investment portfolio with mutual funds and bonds and stocks, and I pray that you have everything in your portfolio because diversification is key. It is important that you have a little bit of everything because when stocks are down, bonds are up. And the government securities are backed by the government. So you want to make sure that you have some treasuries in your portfolio as well because the government, as you can see, has plenty of money and they don't run out. They will always find a way to create resources to bring money into the market to satisfy their debt instruments. So I tell people, to when the market's down and you look at your statement, what you're seeing is only a paper loss. Is only on paper. But if you actually go out and sell right now, then that's an actual loss. It becomes an actual loss, and you have now lost the money that was only on paper. So the people that sold when they saw the paper loss, they created an actual loss, and now the market is up. They cannot go back and recoup that loss. So what we have to do is be very careful in the stock market as well as in life not to react in haste to what's going on around us. So we have to be slow to respond to life circumstances because sometimes we can act in haste and actually lose a lot more than we will gain if we just wait on the Lord and be of good courage. So even what's going on in the stock market is indicative of what goes on in the life of a Christian, because we're talking about walking this walk, not just talking the talk, not just rhetoric, not just quoting scripture, but actually living out the Bible in our lives. And what you see in the natural transfers over to the spiritual. And what happens in the spiritual has already what happens in the spiritual is at some point going to manifest in the natural. So we have to just be careful that we're living in the spirit and not in the flesh, that we're living in the spirit and not in the natural. So when you get a statement, a bank statement, a stock market statement, or when you get bills that you don't see the money to pay, that's only that's the natural. But what has God said in the spiritual? In the spiritual, the Bible tells us that our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we need not be alarmed by what we're seeing in the natural. We need to hold on. Don't sell out at this point. Don't sell out on your faith. I'm talking about the spiritual. I already talked about not selling your stock, but don't sell out on your faith. But hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith and hold up the shield of faith to guard the faith that's being tested during these times so that at the end of the day, you will not have lost all, but you will have gained everything through Christ Jesus. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Let me read a verse of scripture. You know,
amen.
It's a timely verse of scripture here. Coming from Isaiah 40, we hear it quoted often, especially from the King James Version, but I'm reading from the NIV. It said that those who hope are those that wait in the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint.
Mm.
In other words, as we started out this show, you said, you're weary in your body. Your physical body was weary, and sometimes, the spirit is willing. Am I saying that right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Amen. It's one of those things where when we wait upon the Lord, our strength is being renewed. And sometimes, you know, if we're working while we're waiting, if we're believing and trusting while we're waiting, if we're praying while we're waiting, God is ironing us in those moments. If you look at the children of Israel in the Old Testament, what they did before the Promised Land was do a lot of complaining.
Wow.
And God eventually got he got impatient with the children of Israel because he said, how many times do I got to show them a miracle or that I'm with them or that everything is going to be well before they really just trust me and stop almost cursing me by complaining so much?
My God.
And it's one of those things where, you know, you and I, we try to train our minds, train our spirits. Paul says, I beat my body into subjection to obey God. We got to beat our spirit, beat our minds to really believe the word of God no matter what's going on in life.
Yes.
You know, it's a hard day to parent. It's a hard day to stay married. It's a hard day to make an honest living. It's just a hard hour in which we are living. But God says, I shall supply every need according to my riches in Christ's glory.
Yes.
And it's one of those things where you got to sometimes encourage yourself and say, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, everything is going to be all right.
Sometimes, Pastor Rebecca, you can look around at your life and just see everything falling apart because the devil would make you look at just all the negativity concerning your life. But I'm here to say God is always doing something that is so wonderful.
Yeah, amen.
You know, you and I saw a member last night of our church in the hospital, and it was just a wonderful visitation, and we know all is going to be well with her. But as we got home, our kids, you know, they were hungry, and we got home a little late. But we actually sat down and had a burger and some fries with the children. And, you know, I actually enjoyed the moment just being there with my children.
Mm.
You know, not thinking about the concerns of the day, not thinking about, you know, one of our members is sick and shut in. Just enjoying the moment.
Wow.
And sometimes there's always something that you can look at and say, God, you're just awesome.
Mm.
You're just an awesome God.
Yes. Amen. And that's it. That's the key right there. You can look at your life and look at everything and see everything as falling apart, or you can look at your life and look at everything and see everything as being brought into order by God. Hallelujah. You can see everything as being under God's control. God really is in control. We can look at the glass as half empty, or we can look at that glass as half full. We can look at us not having enough, or we can look at it as God having everything. Therefore, we have everything. So it's like how you look at it, how you choose to look at life as it is happening right now today as you're listening to us on this broadcast. Something might be going on a job, in your marriage, with your children, but ultimately, your victory is going to be wrapped up in how you're looking at that situation.
Amen.
It really is. There are no two ways about it.
Yes.
And seize the moment. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. We're missing out on the moment. You know, so much is happening good in the moment, but we're missing it. We're missing the opportunity to relish the good in the moment because there's a lot bad happening, and we have chosen to focus on the bad instead of enjoying the good that's still wrapped up in that same moment right there with the bad.
Amen.
My God. If I want an apple and there are two apples in the bag, one is nice and fresh and red and juicy, and the other one has holes with worms. You can see the worms have crawled into the holes, and it's a little mushy, and it has the brown spots on it. Which apple am I going to choose? Methinks that I will choose the red, juicy, shiny apple.
And Pastor,
amen.
Get this,
you're
not
going to
throw them all away either.
Amen. We have a caller, Pastor Anthony, and the phone lines are open. You can call in 646-652-4832, and we just want to talk with you. So we're going to take this caller. Pastor, why don't you greet our caller?
Yes, caller. God bless you.
God blesses me, Pastor Fran. God bless Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Pastor Fran. How are you today, woman of God?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Just enjoying hearing you guys. I've been having technical difficulties with my computer. But to the glory and honor of God, there's always a plan A, B, and C.
Amen.
And I'm on plan B right now. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you're listening by phone.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're just talking today. We flow. We flow with the Holy Spirit on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we're just flowing, you know, really talking about some of the stuff that's going on in society and how we as the people of God are to deal with what we see going on in the natural. What do you have to add to that?
Well, praise the Lord. My mentor yesterday, her name is Pastor Norma De Jesus. She's also a mentor of Evangelist Jose for Faith on Air. And
yes.
I was speaking to her yesterday, and she has a ministry called Ministry Share in New York City, which started off with ministers that are chaplains in New York City, which I'm a chaplain also.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking about how God has pressed upon her heart to start a coalition of Christian churches that unite together with all the crisis that's going on, like a 911 rescue mission for the Christians. And she was saying how she's getting ready to contact all these churches in New York City area, so when crisis comes, that we know where's the food bank, essential food bank that we have. And I was sharing with her, like, 5 years ago, the Lord was telling me that I need to contact two people in every area, like, let's say two people that own gas stations, two people that own supermarkets, two people, because things are getting so scarce. But then I said, but Pastor Norma, I said, from what I understand in the Word of God, when these things are going to get real, real bad, it's going to be after the rapture. She goes, yes, but we're in the pre-rapture time, so we need to use wisdom and take heed. And I say, well, I know that God's Word says that those that are faithful, He will be faithful to them also. And for
Amen.
Me, I don't have that urgency in me.
Mm.
I have that peace in me. I have that that joy in me that I know Jesus is coming soon. And that's why I'm so excited with Block Talk Radio that, you know, we as a flock, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, and BTR, we could share the good news that we don't have to get scared. Yeah, we got to get ready, but ready within ourselves. Like the Lord gave me a sermon on Sunday, to God be the glory, on the beheaded. Who's going to be beheaded? Those that claim that they're Christians right now, that are make-believers, that are going to be here at the rapture, those are the ones getting beheaded, not us that are, you know, serving God in spirit and in truth. So the Lord is giving us a lot of vision and a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom. But those of us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that are really being faithful in our calling, to God be the glory, we feel joy.
Amen.
We don't feel scared.
Amen.
We rejoicing.
I mean,
Friday I went to see the movie on Religious, and I don't know if you guys heard of that movie, Religious, with a comedian.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Yes, it's a movie with a comedian. I forgot what his name, but it's a well-known comedian. And in the natural, when you look at the movie, it seems like he's trying to assassinate Jesus and trying to act like there's no God. But if you have the Holy Ghost in you, once again, you rejoice, because he's exposing these famous preachers that are really worshiping themselves and not Jesus, that are ministering themselves and not Jesus, that are glorifying themselves and not Jesus, and he's exposing it.
And God said he would do that, my God.
Amen, amen, and he'll do it in Hollywood. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So,
and
you know,
amen.
Like I said, in the natural, when you look at the movie, you're like, oh, my God. And then at the end, he says, well, if you're a believer, when you come out of this movie, you're going to be confused. I said, no, 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 no. If you're a believer and you know the Word of God, you're going to rejoice.
Amen.
And the beautiful thing that I loved about it, which I don't want to take up your segment, but the beautiful thing was that in the beginning of the movie, he's traveling all around the world, and he stops somewhere down south that is a tractor-trailer chapel. And there's these tractor-trailer drivers there that are Christians, and he's speaking to them, and he's talking about that he's doing a documentary on if God does exist and if he's real. So one brother gets up, he goes, look, if you want us to argue with you about the Word of God, I'm not standing for it. I'm leaving, and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But the other brothers stay there, and they listen to him, and they rap with him. But at the end, they said, brother, let's say his name was Michael. I don't remember what his name was.
Is this a new movie?
Yes, a new movie.
Well, you don't want to tell us too much of the movie. Because we want to
no,
see
No, but
it.
There's one thing to glorify Jesus. One thing to glorify Jesus, that in the beginning, the brothers that he go to, when he get ready to leave, they tell him what we all supposed to do. Let
Amen.
Us pray for you.
Let us pray
let us
for
pray
you, my
for
God.
You.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that
Hallelujah.
Is so religious. And you recommend it, Pastor Fran?
Yes. If you on solid ground, if you're not on solid ground, stay home.
If you're not on solid ground, stay home. Amen. You know, and that's the thing. Some of these comedians have a lot of profanity, and I can't listen to them. Is it? Is it a lot of profanity?
It's not really.
Okay.
A little bit, but not really to the point that it's going to, like, let's say if I hear profanity, for me, it, like, my spirit grieves.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's
not even worth it. But it's not to that point, in my opinion.
Okay.
And make the Lord convict me if it is, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, I know you. I know you're a woman of prayer, so I'm glad that you were blessed by that movie. And that's what but you were saying something that was really key to me, and you were saying that at this time, this is not a time, as I asked you to share with the listeners about, you know, how we're supposed to be responding in this time. We are not supposed to be responding with fear during this time. This is not a time for Christians to get scared. See, a lot of the world is responding in fear. They're killing themselves. They're jumping off of bridges. You know, they're pulling out their hair. They're losing sleep. But like you said, something that was key, we're not supposed to respond in fear. You said that we should have peace because you
Amen.
Have peace. And that's just so important because God says that we should not be careful for anything in Philippians 4. And I love that Philippians 4:4 verse. Because it starts out saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we're
Amen.
Being reminded to rejoice in the Lord always. And if we forget, again, God says rejoice. No matter what's going on, always means always. No matter
Amen.
What's going on. Because you can, like I said, you can look at a situation and see that situation as really bad. Or you can see that situation as another opportunity for God to get the glory in your life.
Amen.
Like you said, God got the glory when they said, let us pray for you, brother. You know,
Amen.
And like I said, when I got a diagnosis at the doctor's office, you know, that I had young people cataracts and they wanted to do surgery, I was so excited about this opportunity because I was like, wow, God's getting the glory. He has
Hallelujah.
An opportunity to get the glory in my life, you know, where now I have 20/20 vision because God
Hallelujah.
Got the glory, you know, where I used to wear glasses, you know, where I used to have to depend on glasses. Now I don't have to depend on glasses anymore. So
Hallelujah.
It could have been bad because you think about, oh, they have to cut your eyes to take out the cat, you know, but it's a very common procedure. And God, we ask God for a miracle. See, we ask God for a miracle, and God finds a way to get God gets the miracle to us, but he doesn't tell us what we have to go through to experience the miracle.
Amen.
See, we expect it to be one of those easy street miracles, but God said, no, you're going down difficulty boulevard for this one. Amen. So sometimes we have to go do a different way to get the same results. But God wants us not only to come out of that thing with a miracle, but he wants us to come out of that thing knowing that it was he who provided the miracle.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Pastor Anthony, are
yeah,
you with
us? I totally agree with my sister. It's not a time for Christians to panic. But we just talked about waiting, what we should do while we're waiting. You know, we should be working and believing and trusting in God, not waiting and worrying. So it's one of those things, you know, I'm very familiar with the book of Revelation, and I think many preachers stay away from the book of Revelation because the prophecy there is so real. But as you see at the end of that, Jesus coming back for his bride, that 22nd chapter, he says, I come quickly. But he forewarned those who are living holy, keep living holy. Those who are doing good, keep doing good. Those who are vile and corrupt and evil, if they keep going that way, he's going to come quickly. And he goes on to say he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So the whole, you know, the book of Revelation, when you read it, you're blessed. And he says no one to add or take away from that word. But it's a time, you know, I thought about as she was talking when Jesus told his parents when he was a little boy teaching in the temple, I must be about my father's business. And, you know, sometimes when you're about your father's business, you don't even have time to look at what's going on in the world.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about whatever God is calling you to do. You know, some people, we're in the secular world. Some people, you are the breadwinner. You are the one writing books or doing, you know, blog talk radio shows. Whatever God is telling you to do, you know, be about your father's business. Because God's taking care of this world in the way he sees fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear all the jargon and rhetoric about this political race, and we don't know who's going to be president on November the 5th. But God knows. And it's one of those things we can't get consumed with the cares of this world. And that's why you talked about that peace, Pastor Rebecca, which surpasses all understanding. And only God can give you that.
Because
I keep my head in the magazine, in the newspaper. I want to know what's going on. But I never rush to worrying.
Wow.
But every time I see an eye-catching, you know, news article on the front page of a newspaper, I got to pick it up and read it. So we can't be ignorant or blind to what's happening, but we need to know that the Bible, our main source of it all, is what we need to go by.
Amen.
So I'm just so elated. Go ahead.
Let me read that scripture, because I was talking about Philippians 4, and Philippians 4, I believe it is 4 through 8. Is just an excellent scripture for, and I have my King James Bibles are downstairs. I only have the NIV up in the office here, so I'm going to read from the NIV. Philippians 4, and starting with verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. For let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, without complaining," as Pastor Emily was talking about the Israelites did in the wilderness, "with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice."
Amen.
"And the God of peace will be with you." My
Put
God.
Put it into practice.
Put it into practice. That's what I was saying earlier. We can't just talk the talk. You know, and we had a women's conference this past weekend.
Hey, glory.
Women of Power. Hallelujah. And one of the, we had the kickoff on Friday night and the worship service on yesterday. And I preached on Friday and on Saturday, a powerful day on Saturday. The Lord was glorified. People were delivered and set free, set on purpose. Amen. The word was confirmed in the lives of the people. But on Friday, one thing that I said on Friday, the Lord said through me, do not let the words contained within the Bible just be rhetoric. Do not let them just be words that spill forth from your lips. The Bible says that they worship me, they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, God wants to remind the people to get this word, like David, stored up in your heart so that you might not sin against God. And we're not necessarily talking about sin like fornication and adultery and drunkenness or things like that, but the sin of grumbling, the sin of complaining, the sin of doubt, and the sin of operating out of fear. Fear in itself is not a sin, but operating out of fear is. So we have to just be very careful that the word is not just rhetoric, but that word is our source. The word is what we live off of. The word, Jesus said it, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So from this scripture that we just read, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, we learn that the Christian experience is a positive experience and not a negative one. And our response is a positive one, one filled with hope, and not a negative one filled with doubt and distress and depression. So check yourself on today, and check your response to everything that's going on in this world that we're in, but we're not of. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says,
praise
work
God.
Out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. And even as God is working on us all, you know, we're on that potter's wheel, and God is forming and shaping us and molding us. And that purging process and the pruning is just so awesome that, you know, people are aspiring to do things for God, but God knows what we need as far as character building to go to the next level in Him. If he don't think you're fit, he's not going to put you anywhere where it might destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a God who knows all things. So one thing we can never do is get ahead of God, but another thing, we got to go through our own personal process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't look at the Christian next to us in the pew. We can't look at who's in our pulpits. We need to know what God is saying to us.
Amen.
And God will speak to your spirit directly. It's just an awesome thing that God knows what we need better than what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love what you just read because it says rejoice. You know, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And there's just something about allowing your spirit to come forth in the midst of anything and be determined to rejoice no matter what's happening.
My God, we have breakthrough in the chat room. I always like to keep abreast of what's going on in the chat room. I want to welcome Mrs. Quiet Storm and also guest 724. We have breakthrough in the chat room. My God, Mrs. D. Neal was in the chat room, and she said the word convicted her to the point where she has been out of character, the character of Christ today, and she had to go back and repent and apologize to the person. And she's thanking God for the correction of the rod of the word. You know, it's just, my God, hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I love to see, and that's growth. My God, when you see that, when you allow that word to be for you and not, oh, my, you not say, oh, my goodness, I wish so-and-so were here to hear what these people were saying, because this word is for her. This word is for her. Sometimes that word is for me. That word is for you, and we need to get our word. I tell people, get your word, get your conviction, and get your own altar call, because nobody can walk out this process with you. You have to walk this out, and the only way that you're going to grow is through the word, through being convicted, and by taking it to the altar. And saying, God, I repent. I'm giving it right to you. Your altar can be anywhere. It could be right there in your office, right there in your home, at your desk, on your job, wherever you want to make an altar to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Right here, I throw up my hands and surrender. Right here, in the name of Jesus. So thank God for breakthrough on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. You know, it's one of those things where God knows. He says a good tree is going to bear good fruit.
Mm.
So just because you don't see that sprout yet, you're a good tree. You remain a good tree, you're going to bear some fruit.
My God.
It's going to be fruit that will remain. So be encouraged on today. We're going to bear some good fruit for the Lord. And I just get so excited in my spirit about being on God's side. There's just so much going on. And Pastor Rebecca, if we can, I just want to talk about just this parenting thing just for a minute. I don't know if you want to change gears or stay where we are, but it's just in my spirit today that we as parents, we really got to have our eyes really, really wide open. It's just too much going on with our children that we don't want them to get to a place where they can't come back from. So we as parents need to go forth this. Just too many scriptures in the Bible to teach us how to raise our children for us to try to appease them or be their friend or give in to something that we know that's going to be for their demise or their destruction. So we as parents got to always be in position to make the tough decisions, whether it's an adult child or a child in high school or elementary school. We have to parent in this hour like never before. And it's one of those things, Pastor Rebecca, that sometimes we got to put our emotions under, you know, under the subjection of the Lord and say, God, I know what you are saying. And you and I, you know, our teenagers, our older children, we invaded their rooms. Their privacy was invaded. It was one of those things where they're getting so bombarded with messages. And God knows how we love our children. And whatever happens in their life impacts us like we wouldn't know. So it's to our best interest to be proactive as it concerns our children, especially that middle school and teenage age group.
Yeah, those are the ones that are getting left by the side. And Pastor Emily, you know, we're flowing, you know. So, you know, whatever the Lord drops into your spirit, we'll flow with that, you know. And that's why I'm glad that you're here with me. So definitely we need to talk about our children, because in this day and age, a lot of our children are getting left by the wayside. And we're not teaching our children. We were in the women's conference on on this past weekend on Friday, and I was talking to the women about their value and the fact that they're not somebody's, you know, just somebody's bedmate, but the word booty call came out of my mouth, you know, because I wanted to just say that word. I didn't want to say it, but I just wanted to get it out there. But I looked at the kids, and then I looked at our 10-year-old sitting there, and I looked at the 13-year-old sitting there, and I said, that's right, Kayla and I talk about this. I talk about this with my 10-year-old, that she's not going to be somebody's booty call. She's going to be a virgin until the day that she is married. And I said, Nadia, you're 13, you'll be a virgin until the day that you're married, because you're more valuable than to be somebody's bedmate, somebody who won't commit to you and be married to you. So, yes, we have to teach our children right now. And somebody will say, well, that word was a little bit, you know, crass, you know. And that's true. But, you know, the thing about it is the stuff that they're bombarding our kids with, the kids are relating even more so to stuff worse than that. And I thank God. I say, protect your children. We tell our kids, you can't watch videos, and we do have a caller, area code 908, I see you. You can't watch these videos where they're out there shaking the romp shaker. You can't watch these videos where the girls are showing everything. You can't watch these videos where the women are treated like sex slaves or sex objects. You cannot. So our daughter, she's 10. But she knows how to turn a video, she knows how to turn a channel if something comes on that's not conducive to her young eyes seeing it. So, yes, we have to parent, we have to teach our children, no, you can't watch what everybody else watches. No, it doesn't seem fair, but it's right. It's not fair, but it's right. No, you can't have internet in your bedroom. No, with a camera attached to it. Come on, y'all. We can't. We got to get the internet.
7 years old with a cell phone.
You can't have a cell phone. No, I'm sorry. You're 10. You don't need a cell phone. You know why? Because I'm taking you to school. I'm picking you up from school. You're not walking anywhere. You're not hanging out with the crowd. You're not going to be anywhere that I don't know where you are. If I haven't took you there and if I haven't picked you up, you're not going. That's just the way it is. Some people say it's radical parenting, and yes, it is. We need radical parenting in this day, because at 10, 11, and 12, and 13, there are predators that are out there preying upon our girls and our boys, and they're trying to have sex with our children. So we have to be careful that our children are not losing their virginity before they're in the age of puberty. Let's take this call, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Amen. I want to welcome his worshiper. God bless you. I did see your comment in the room that this is your first time listening, and I'm glad that you're being blessed. God bless you. Area code 908, welcome to Flowing with the Pastors. Hallelujah. Area code 908, are you there? Area code 908, you're on the air. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe that it's Prophetess Lalisa Williams, and she must have had to step away. I know she listens from work. But anybody can call in, 646-652-4832. So, Pastor Emily, you're right. We have to proactively parent our children. Know where your children
are.
Yeah,
I'm looking at a headline now. You know, it's a teen gunned down in the – if you're not familiar with the New Jersey area, there's a city called Jersey City, and a young teenager lost his life. But he was, you know, gang-related and this, all this other nonsense. But they had five girls in the apartment with him. One was braiding his hair, and some other kids bust into the apartment and took this young man's life. And what I'm saying is that we got to just be aware of where our teenagers are, teaching them. That's what you was talking about, Pastor Rebecca. It's not like our kids are going to be perfect. They may sneak. They may get to the place where they do things undermindedly. But we, at the young tender ages, is trying to teach them, even independently of us not being there, to make right choices.
Yeah, that's what
you know,
that's what
and even in the classroom. Yeah, I went to the high school, and the number one complaint from every teacher was that the cell phones and the iPods are always whipped out during class time, and they just cannot control it. Everyone
wow.
has a cell phone, everyone has an iPod, and 15, 20 minutes of the class, they're telling them to put them away, they're confiscating them, and I understand technology is good, and it's hip, but we just got to tell them to make, you're going to school to learn.
Yes.
It's not time to text. It's not time to get an email. It's time to learn something.
But baby, who was killed? Who was gunned down?
A young man in Jersey City, a teenager, 19-year-old young man in Jersey City. It was gang-related. They had this big gang sweep in the Jersey City area. And a young man, 12 o'clock last night, was in a project housing apartment. And one young lady was doing his hair. They looked through the peephole. They knew the guy who was at the door. And he bust in and took this young man's life with an accomplice.
So
and
how
now the cops know who they're looking for. But
yeah,
it's one of those things where you have five teenagers in an apartment.
Right, but they were over
18. I don't know
18.
If one of them lived there. I don't know.
But they were over 18. See, and that's why we have to train up the child in the way that they should go, because when they're 18, 19, 21, and 25, and 30, now they are no longer acting like children, but they're acting like adults. You know, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And also, when you put the word in your child, then that word has to bear forth roots and spring forth buds and sprouts to produce fruit in the life of your child. So you as a parent can produce fruit in the life of your child by planting the word so that word
takes root.
Planting
that seed in them. Yeah,
yes.
Believe me, it's not coming
yes.
back void. They
yes.
look like they're not hearing, they're not feeling us, they're showing us the hand and the spirit. You know, no disrespect, but you can kind of see it's not penetrating. But trust me, that seed that you're sowing about the things of God is penetrating.
Yes.
Some of that stuff is getting in.
It won't come back void, my God. God's word will not come back void. His word will prosper that thing to which he sent it. And the problem that a lot of us make in church is that we go to church for ourselves, and we take our kids because we just take our kids. You know, that's just what we do. But the thing about it is we have to realize that when we go to church and we take our children to church with us, that our children are getting the same benefits that we are, that the same word that we're hearing, and even if they have children's church and they're receiving the word in children's church, that word still is going to bring forth fruit in their lives. It's going to bring forth the fruit. It's going to bring forth the fruit of obedience to God. It's going to bring forth the fruit of prosperity. It's going to bring forth the fruit of success in life, good health, making good decisions and right decisions, and righteous living. So God's word is going to bring forth fruit in your children's lives, but you have to take your children to church. Under 18, they don't have a choice.
Go ahead.
Under 18 and they live under your roof, they don't have a choice. They're going to church. You know, I'm telling you what to do, right? Well, they should not have a choice. Let me just say it like that. Under 18, your children should not have a choice. And it's for their benefit. It's for their benefit to take them to a church where the word is coming forward so that they can learn the ways of the Lord. You know why God chose Abraham? He chose Abraham because he knew that Abraham would teach the word to his children in the generations to come.
Amen. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah. He knew that Abraham would teach his children his commandments. So we have to do the same thing, and we have to teach our children at home. Don't give all of the responsibility to the Sunday school teacher or to the pastor, but just talk about the word with your children. Talk about
Amen.
Right. Talk about right from wrong. You know, my mama told me when I was growing up, my mother told me when I was growing up, she said, don't come home pregnant. That's what my mother said to me. But that was the extent, you know, don't come home pregnant. You know, she didn't tell me. And I love my mother, and she did the best that she could, raising the six kids that she did single-handedly. Now she knows that the Lord was with her the whole time. But she said, don't come home pregnant. And that's all she told me. But we need to tell our children, keep yourself pure until marriage, because your body is a gift. Your virginity is a gift that should be given to your husband or to your wife. We should tell our children that fornication, having sex outside of marriage, is a sin, that God doesn't like it when we share our bodies with people who are not our husbands. We should tell our children that their bodies are the temple of God, You know, we should tell our children that if they get pregnant prematurely, that they're really going to have a hard way to go in life, because now they're children raising children, and it's really going to make life tough and snuff out some of the dreams that they have for their future. So these are conversations that we need to have with our children when they're 10, 11, 12, 13. It's never too soon. Kayla came to us. How old was she when she asked us, how do I get a husband, and how do I get a car, and how do I get a job?
She was about six.
6 years old. Six?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the 908 area code is back with us. Area code 908, you're on the air. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you all, pastors. Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony, God bless you.
God bless
and,
you.
Oh, listen, I just heard, of, you know, for a minute when you were, you know, speaking before Pastor Rebecca, because I'm here at work, so I'm, like, in between buildings, but, you know, I just wanted to call in to just, you know, support you, your ministry, support, you know, everything that you all are doing, and even though it's a short few minutes that I can be here, I wish you guys could stay on longer. You have, you know, wonderful topics, but, you know, and what we tell our youth, and, you know, sometimes, and I heard you mention that sometimes people, you know, aren't sure what's too harsh for a young person.
Yeah.
What's too much for their ears? Do we mention sex? Do we mention homosexuality? Do we mention, are we going to increase their desire to want to know because we mentioned it? Are
right.
we going to scare them? But the thing is, the world is not afraid. I'm mentioning, I'm sure you probably mentioned that, you know,
say
maybe,
that.
And we think they haven't heard this. Let me tell you, our kids hear a lot, just sometimes even from school, from even other family members. You never know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Some kids love to read, and so sometimes as parents we celebrate that our children love to read, but just like they're reading Dick and Jane Can Run, they're also sometimes getting their hands on other things, too, because if you love to read, you want to kind of read stuff.
Mm.
And I heard an adult woman talking about how, you know, when she was like 10, the things she was reading, her parents never knew.
Right.
And she was
Me
reading
too.
Those kinds of love and sexy novels. So,
yes.
So we don't need to, I think, be so afraid. And like you were saying, Pastor Rebecca, as long as I'm giving you the love and support, I can give you the responsibility of not having sex as a teen. But I'm also going to give you the backup and support you need of what to do in lieu of having sex. Every girl, I've seen even the crippled, blind, and crazy be approached about sex.
Mm.
Everybody's going, yes, I've seen it. You've seen it. You heard about it. Even on the news, they've been either, everybody's going to be approached. Don't think that was not going to happen to my daughter. That's the foolishest comment you could ever say.
Wow.
That probably means your child going to get pregnant at 14, 15, or 16. And when you start saying that, but when you recognize that it can happen, and let me set up a system to develop her so that when she is approached, when that boy says whatever he says to her, she will know the correct response, that boy or girl, because today we have more homosexuality amongst girls than we've ever had in probably history, probably going back to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I know you're short on time, so I don't want to go too much into detail
but
on that.
Yes, that is a good, excellent point. Yes. Yes, and we
can't play with this thing, because then later we want to be all embarrassed when they're coming into church unwed. But see, you should have been embarrassed was when you had to go and speak to them about something that you felt uncomfortable with, because the kids want to talk about it. Believe me, they want to hear the word booty call and mama tell me not to do it, because if you don't talk to them about it because you're too afraid and your own inhibitions, believe me, they're going to go ask the wrong person.
Yeah.
And the wrong person going to tell her. And it could be a cousin. It could be an aunt. It could be a big brother. Somebody else going to tell them something that may not be as right as what you, the mother, the Christian mother and father, the person who understands their destiny. Because when you know your children are called with a destiny and a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to raise up a prophet. You're trying to raise up a prophetess.
Mm.
You're trying to raise up an apostle. You're trying to raise up a psalmist and all this dancer, blah, 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 teacher, doctor, lawyer, president.
Mm.
You're trying to raise that up. Obama mama didn't let him do or say no anything. Don't even think she did.
Because
she did not. Tiger Woods, daddy and mama didn't do no anything. Look, we saw that even in the Jackson 5 movie taught us that. You want your children to do something great. You cannot let them do what every other kid is doing.
So, no, you're not getting a cell phone. No, you're not chewing gum. No, you're not going to wear high heels or whatever the thing. And only because you're trying to teach them discipline. There's a time to wear high heels.
Yes.
Like, you see Mama got them? Don't you see Mama got them on? That's the time to wear this. Look, take her, Mama got lingerie, but Mama know when to wear it with her husband.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You know, Daddy know how to hit on a woman, but Daddy was hitting on the woman that he knew God had already told him was going to be his wife.
Amen.
He wasn't just hitting on women for hitting on women's sake. When God shows that man that that's going to be your wife, like Creflo Dollar does a good teaching about that. When God has spoke to him about Kathy, when he can make all the advances he wanted then in terms of complimenting her, telling her, oh, you got nicely shaped legs or whatever.
Oh, he went there.
because if God speaks something to you, you know it's sure. My pastor talks about that when he met his wife. Who you know what I'm saying? When they were still just, they met in the church or wherever they met in dating state. But when you know God has told you that, you know God ain't going to lie to you. So if God tells a man that's going to be his wife, guess what? That man can now you can say to her how pretty you are. And, oh, yes, you know, you're lovely and all these things that we don't want people telling our kids because when our girls or our teenagers, when they hear that, now I'm attracted to the person who says this to me.
That's good. That's good.
Pastor Rebecca, just a quick question. I know we've got a few minutes left in the program. This thing, you know, she said something that she was talking that is so key. You know, sometimes before we became Christians and gave our lives over to Christ, I can only speak for myself, but many of us have done things outside of Christ that not only were we ashamed of, but it was one of those things that, you know, we were to the point where we regretted them. How important is it to receive the forgiveness of Almighty God?
Oh, Lord, Pastor Anthony.
If you repent and ask, he will forgive you. And if we can't sit down because we did so much in our younger years, if we can't tell our children not to do what we did but do what we're saying, then we're not forgiving ourselves and believing in this forgiveness that God has allowed us.
Amen.
So whether you was a virgin or not, whether you was promiscuous or not, doesn't matter. You need to just move on and want the best for your children.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you were like me and our caller on the phone, we can just, we need another hour for this. But we both have come out of lifestyles that were promiscuous, if I'm saying the word, Pastor said I say the word very wrong. But we were out there, you know, and the thing about it is, I can't be ashamed of my testimony. That's what Pastor Anthony is saying. You have to forget, you have to repent, which means turn away from that behavior. You have to receive God's forgiveness for real. Say, I know I'm forgiven, and then allow God to use your weak moments when you did not know him, your testimony of your wretchedness to help somebody else. You cannot hide your testimony behind the makeup and the Armani suits and the Gucci bags and act like you've never done anything, because your kids are not going to be able to relate to that. Neither are you going to be able to minister to your children effectively if you're still guilty about your past. So, yes, the guilt, the shame, they have to go. The behavior has to change. Receive God's forgiveness and minister to your children in wisdom and truth. And truth. Amen. Well, we only have 2 minutes left, and our time is up. We can't stay. We love to extend, but we can't stay. But what I want to do this month is I want to do a week. And Minister Williams, check your calendar, because I want to do a week dealing with this domestic violence month. So right here on Block Talk Radio, I want to do a week ministering to that area, and I want you to be one of the speakers.
Oh, yes, I would love to.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you, everyone. Angel, Truth Seeker, you came in late. You missed an awesome broadcast today, and also Prophetess, Prophetic Empowerment. The archives are available, and we are flowing with the pastors every single week on Tuesdays at 12 noon. And we want to remind you that our DVDs and CDs from the Women's Conference will be available soon. And next week we'll announce that so that you can have those for your library. And we just want to thank you all for tuning in. Pastor Anthony, in this last minute, do you have anything? Pastor Anthony. Amen. So Pastor Anthony is gone, so I guess I'll be closing us out because I don't hear him with me anymore. But we want to thank you for being with us on today. We want to remind you that God is in control. There's nothing going on in your life that is a surprise to God. We want to let you know that God says in his word that he would never leave you, nor would he ever forsake you. And he said, if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything else will be added unto you. All of your needs will be taken care of because he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And his word will not come back to him void, but it will prosper that to which he sent it. So know that God has a glorious plan for your life, plans for good and not for evil, plans to bring you, my sister and my brother, to an expected end. So until next week, God bless you. I'll be here tomorrow at 12, and also we'll be back on Thursday for Woman to Woman at 12 noon. Tune in and be blessed by what the Lord is going to do. We love you. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.